In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Born to you in this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Friends, the scene is usually set for us in quite the dramatic fashion in this season. On a cold and blustery night, a young maiden sits atop a perfectly groomed donkey that's led by a rugged man. They soldier on through the dark and wintry night to get to a quaint little village. Their trip is one of urgency, forced by the hand of an oppressive government. Once they're there, they stop in a hotel after hotel looking for a place to stay, but they're turned away by gruff innkeepers who are ignorant of to the importance of the couple. Finally, one innkeeper is obliged to help out this man and woman, seeing that she is very round with pregnancy. His sincere heart cannot turn away a woman who is so clearly about to give birth. Only he has no room for them in his inn. He only has the barn. And in a generous act of grace, he offers it to them, the only space. The young couple heads to the shelter and makes a little bit of a home amidst the animals in the perfectly strewn hay. After hours of labor, the woman lay her baby down in a soft and comforting bed of hay in a cozy wood manger. Within hours, they have guests coming to see this new king. A group of cute and plucky young shepherds show up telling stories of heavenly glory that they witnessed out in the fields outside of town. Three kings show up riding regal camels adorned with gifts fit for the finest of royalty. The scene is so flawless that you can't help but imagine it as kind of a musical, with the angel, with the animals even speaking up and beginning to sing the glories of the Lord and the birth of his promised one, who will ransom Israel and save them, and in fact, save the whole earth. I hate to burst your bubble, but this is not the, even though this is the way that we're often presented with the gospel, this is not what the truth is. The truth is much different. Jesus was probably born in the spring, so the scene of a blustery, wintry night as they forge on through the storm is something only of our modern imagination. They likely traveled on dusty roads filled with other people who were migrating to be counted in the census as well. I doubt that any of us would have been able to even pick them out among all the crowds that were traveling. They traveled to Joseph's ancestral home. When they got there, they would have headed to Joseph's closest family in the area. An uncle or a cousin or something like that would have welcomed them at the entrance of their house. Unfortunately, older and more honored members of their family would likely have gotten there first, and it would have been given positions of honor amongst the guests. You see, in first century Palestinian home, the rooms upstairs are where the people lived. And downstairs is where the animals would stay in the night to be protected and sheltered from the outside. And also their heat would rise and provide heat for those that were staying upstairs. The mangers, or troughs really, would have likely been made of stone, as wood was precious and expensive. Here among the animals in dirt is where Joseph and Mary made their lodging for the night, since all the rooms upstairs were filled. They were not far away from family, and likely Mary enjoyed the company of many women who had gone through the ordeal of childbirth before, coaching her and loving her and encouraging her. In a field not too far away, we find ordinary shepherds, far from plucky, cute young men. These are men whom many in Jesus' day would have been considered unclean due to their work out in the fields. They were men without connections or very tight ties to families, as they would be gone for long stretches of the time caring for their sheep. They had poor reputations, and they reeked of the open fields and of the sheep that they spent most of their time with. And I don't know if you've ever smelt sheep, but they don't smell too nice. The kings we picture coming to pay homage to their new Lord were really actually magicians, wise men from a foreign land who were studying the stars and their own prophecies, and their coming was for this royal birth. They came months and maybe years after Jesus was born, not right on time. They were following the stars, and at some point, their signs and wonders that they were following kind of ran out. They didn't get quite to Jesus. And they had to figure out where Jesus was. So they went to the regional king, figuring that the royalty should know where this royal baby was being born. They would not have guessed that he was born to such simple means. And so they assumed the powerful would have known about his birth. Friends, these are the true scenes that set the stage for Jesus' birth. There was very little pomp and circumstance. He went largely unnoticed by the world around him. His birth has only since become the thing of legend just because it was passed on to us. In reality, the day that he was born was no different than the day in the life of anybody at his time. No one stopped and wondered, feeling some kind of cosmic shift in the force. No one shouted with acclamations in the streets. It was as mundane as it could be. But God broke into the mundane with exuberant glory, like the angels in the field breaking in on the work of the shepherds. Jesus' birth was likely ablaze with spiritual activity. Who knows the kind of wonder and celebration the angels held as they watched their king begin his purpose on earth. The unseen wonders and glories of heaven must have been a sight to behold that night. This story, the true story, tells us something about our own lives. It's into our mundane lives that Jesus has decided to come. God left his throne and kingly crown and came to earth for you and for me. He was born amidst scandal at his conception, since his human parents were only betrothed to be married at the time. He was not born in comfort or luxury, but was born where the animals dwelled, among the dirt and the grime. In the same way, Jesus has found it perfect to be lodged in our hearts, among our dirt and grime, our dust and pain. The hardness of a stone manger, the discomfort of itchy hay. He lives in the church, where we go about our days with little pomp and circumstance. I don't know about you, but there was no flashing lights or glorious hymns being sung on the day that I invited him into my life. But I can only imagine the scene in heaven that day. This season, as we see scenes depicting the Nativity, let us remember the mundanity of that day. Let us remember that it was no special day, it was ordinary. But Jesus chose to inhabit it anyways. Let us remember that our lives are not so much different, and yet Jesus chooses to inhabit them as well. When we think of it, may we sing with joy as the angels proclaim, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is well pleased."